welcome to episode 223 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, this is the third and final episode for the recording session with Mr. Mark Zervis. Thank you for your service
This
podcast. Appreciate that. As people may be able to tell, feeling a little loose.
Feeling good, man.
Feeling good. We're feeling good. Because this is the third podcast, and we've had a few high ABV things.
Yeah, a few high, a few low. It's been pretty.
I think it's the High West barrel-aged Victory at Sea from Ballast Point in combination with the Duclos Creme de Menthe Retribution that's kind of made us like, feeling all right. So, speaking of feeling all right, we're going to talk about the use of cannabis in beer, because it came out kind of recently that Budweiser, AB InBev, is looking to work with a cannabis company.
Mm.
So, I have an article on that, and then we have a little bit of information about some other breweries that have kind of worked with cannabis, or are looking to at least.
Oh, they've already done it.
Yeah, Mark's got that info. So, this is the article through Boston.com, so it's out of Boston. They're talking about the maker of Budweiser is partnering with medical cannabis company Tilray in a $100 million deal to research cannabis-infused drinks for the Canadian market.
Interesting.
Because if you don't know, Canada just very, very recently legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana, not just medical. So you can just smoke weed, eat weed, whatever, in Canada now. Okay. So it makes sense that they would make that their target market, because at the moment, Canada's leading the world in being comfortable with cannabis, basically. The alliance was announced. It's the latest foray by a major beer company into the cannabis business in Canada, which legalized in, it was October of 2018. So it's like very, very, very recent. Anheuser-Busch InBev and Tilray Incorporated said each would invest $50 million in the project to study non-alcoholic drinks containing cannabidiol, or CBD is what it's known as, which some claim has calming and healing effects, and THC, the cannabis compound known for its psychoactive effects. We know about that. It looks like if AB InBev does anything with cannabis in their beer, that it's mainly going to be through the Labatt company, or the Labatt brand that's very present in Canada that they own. And because of this, Tilray Incorporated's shares jumped 15%.
That's the most important part.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, for their investors, right. It's very true. North American consumer spending on legal cannabis is expected to grow from $9.2 billion in 2017 to $47.3 billion in 2027, so 10 years after that. And this is according to ArcView Market Research. So, and they're a cannabis-focused investment firm.
Hmm.
You're getting all sorts of new companies because of this, I'll say. Earlier in the month of November, Marlboro maker Altria Group Incorporated ended up investing $1.8 billion for a 45% stake in Cronos Group, which is a Canadian medical and recreational marijuana provider. And in August of 2018, wine, liquor, and beer company Constellation Brands announced a $4 billion investment in Canadian pot producer Canopy Growth Corporation. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Guinness brewer Diageo, which Guinness has a brewery in Baltimore, have said they are closely watching the market for cannabis as it evolves. So obviously they're very much interested as well. Because who doesn't want money?
That's true.
If it's a cash cow, who doesn't want money? So let's talk about that portion real quick. Your thoughts up front.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be beer. I think maybe they'll call it beer or whatever, but in terms of the manufacturing of it, I think it's just going to be something else. You know, there's no alcohol in it, so. And I don't know what would happen if you infused marijuana and alcohol together, but obviously they're just going with strictly marijuana-infused liquid? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, calling it beer is kind of not right because I don't think it is.
Right. Well, and Mark and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and he was kind of saying, you know, would it really even be beer if it's not alcoholic and it's mainly just focused on the cannabis? And I was like, well, if you think about the purity laws in Germany, the Reinheitsgebot, it, I believe it states that in order to be categorized as beer, one of the components is yeast. And so I don't know if they could, if they would still consider it beer if maybe they just put yeast in for a little bit and let it ferment just, you know, maybe to 1% or something. Because I know that you can market a beer as non-alcoholic if it still has the smallest amount of alcohol.
Interesting.
But it's just, like, so insignificant.
Right.
So, I mean, in order to, if it has to have yeast and it has to have some alcohol to it, you could really just let the yeast do just the slightest amount.
Right.
And then just, you know, shut that down. So, I mean, it could still be beer.
You know what I mean? What does it taste like? Well, like, you know, can you just add any flavor you want and then it tastes like cherry or it tastes like vanilla or it tastes like chocolate? You know what I mean? And it's infused with cannabis. But I don't know if this is beer. It just seems like something else, you know?
So it seems to me, you know, per that article I just read, there are two different ways that they're thinking about going about it. And that's either with the CBD, which is like the calming effect, or the THC, which is actually like what gets you high.
That leads me to this article, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Which, in fact, Heineken-owned Lagunitas has launched a non-alcoholic cannabis, in quotations, beer infused with THC. Now, Hi-Fi Hops, there's your can.
Can looks cool.
Yeah.
Look a little psychedelic.
It actually was launched on June 26th. One with 10 milligrams of THC, one with 5 milligrams THC. And they call it, let's see, sparkling water. IPA-inspired THC-infused sparkling water.
God, that's confusing.
Yeah. psychoactive drinks market. So this is a psychoactive drink.
Okay.
So this is something different.
Okay, so it makes sense if they're releasing this in California, because California is now legal for recreational marijuana. It's also funny to me because I know for a long time people have recognized Lagunitas as being like a really pot, well, marijuana-inspired brewery. So the fact that now they like literally can get into that market, it's kind of funny to me.
They call it bubbly, aromatic, bitter, fruity, and herbaceous with no gluten, no carbs, and a smidge of California sun-grown cannabis in every sip. So,
I mean, it sounds like they have a good marketing person to write their text.
Yeah, like, I'm imagining, now I'm imagining this more along the lines of something clear, you know, looks like, you know, it's going to be sparkling water that... Maybe it's canned. I mean, I could see it even being in some kind of like twist cap bottle, you know, plastic, you know, like it's like recreating beer, but fake, you know?
Yeah. Like,
so if somebody wants to, if you like beer, you'll like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's why they put that portion in like IPA and that's why inspired. They're,
And that's, it's in cans. We know that it's in cans, but.
So I will say this is something that's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around.
Right.
Because it's being pioneered right now.
Right.
So I just, it's hard to know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
It really is. And going back a little bit, I want to point out that in the article I was reading, Constellation, who's been involved in this, they own Ballast Point Brewing. Okay. So they would probably end up getting involved as well. So, yeah.
I mean, it's in its infancy. It's tough to know. Like, you know, are you drinking it just for the effects of cannabis as opposed to, you know, I don't necessarily drink beer to get drunk. I drink beer for the complexity. And it's like, are these going to have the complexity of said beer, or is it just going to be, you know, various types, like a soda? Is it going to be various types of flavor where you're just there for the effects of the THC, you know?
Right.
So,
I mean, I could see it going both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely see it going both ways. And
because it's one of those things where marijuana, and it's pure, you know, you smoke it. It's not like hops you can, like, you know,
smoke hops.
Yeah, smoke hops or something like that and get sure drunk could. Because, you know, the cannabis is related to hops, but the hops don't contain alcohol, you know, but the cannabis contains the THC. So it's, you know, I think it'll be a big market at some point, but a totally different market than, say, beer. Like, you know, you're going to, if you want a beer, you're going to go for a beer. You're not going to go for a cannabis-infused sparkling water.
True.
So.
Yeah, true. Well, although it does make me think that it opens up another option for people who don't like the idea of actually smoking marijuana.
And that's true, too.
That they want to, you know, like, more, like, eat it. Yeah. Or, you know, here's another option, you can drink it, so.
I just think this is more in a relation of, like, a soda than it is a beer. I mean, yeah, I understand they're going to make it taste like a beer, but just make it taste like a soda, you know? Because if you're doing sparkling water, then you're already kind of in that realm anyway than you are sort of. I don't think they make alcoholic sparkling water.
So. Well, and the thing is, since it's such a new thing, it would be the smartest to make it taste like a soda because that's how you bring the most customers
Correct.
In. They just be like, oh, this tastes really good, and you get high.
Yeah.
Or if they're just doing the CBD, and it makes you feel like super calm.
Yeah.
Although I will say that since they say Coca-Cola is closely watching this.
I think that's the bigger thing. That's when I see it'll blow up when Coca-Cola does it, not when Heineken or Budweiser does it. Because it's just, you know, I don't know if a beer drinker and a pot smoker are sort of, they can be both, but I don't know. I don't seeing it being this sort of, I don't know, symbiosis with beer as then its own thing.
Yeah.
Even if it is a beer manufacturer that makes it.
Well, if you start by bringing people into it by having it taste like soda because it's appealing flavor-wise, you can then let it kind of sit like that in the market for a bit and then start getting into the people who, you know, will be like kind of like the craft beer nerds where they can break it off and be like, oh, so here's for the people who are cannabis nerds who want to, like, taste different strains, and then they strip it
That's
down.
That's where you get... Right. It'll be its own thing. I don't think that this is going to be a beer thing. This will be a marijuana thing.
Right.
You know?
I agree with that.
And it's, look, this is going to take time because, you know, states need to get on board with it first. The feds need to get on board with it first, so...
Although there are some breweries who are looking into this, and I had looked up another article. This is through Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, who we talked about in the two episodes ago about the Trillium thing. So they were saying in this that one of the biggest splashes that was made in conjunction with anything cannabis-ish was New Belgium Brewing when they made the Hemperer, which was their hemp pale ale, and that was a year-round beer that they had released. We had it on this podcast, and I hated it.
I've had a hemp beer somewhere. It was somebody else's, though.
So they said about that beer that quote, this ale is brewed with hemp hearts, which is the meat of the seed minus the shell, and dry hopped with Simcoe and experimental HBC 522 hops to create a dank, pungent hop aroma balanced by a sweet, mildly bitter finish. Federal law prohibits brewers from using hemp leaf and flower, so New Belgium brewers found a creative solution using other natural plant materials that perfectly emulate those hop terpenes. The Hemperer HPA contains no THC or CBD.
Hmm.
So basically they were able to actually use it without getting the stuff that the federal government says you can't have. So.
Like, I think weed smells awful, so that's what they're going for.
And
so now you
can
drink
terrible.
The disgusting smell of weed. It's interesting.
Yeah, that beer was garbage. Like, it was... Ugh, yeah.
Interesting.
Nasty. Yeah. I'm trying to see if there's anything else, like, super... Oh, taking a step forward, Long Trail Brewery in Vermont collaborated with nearby Loose Farm to produce a pale ale finished with extracted terpenes and CBD, the compound that is extolled for health benefits in beers. The beer itself is bursting with tropical fruit juice, aromas, and flavors, and at least with the sample provided to Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine, offers little in the way of traditional pot aroma or flavors aside from a little stickiness on the finish. When you want aroma, however, look for the limited release from Lagunitas Brewing Company, which has worked with local cannabis growers to infuse or vape terpenes, the fragrant oils found in marijuana, into beers. They called it supercritical, and reviews of the beer were largely positive. Hmm. The sample Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine tried was dank with strong cannabis aromatics, yet sharply bitter in true West Coast IPA fashion. There are others working with THC, minus the beer, in produce to produce beverages for the public. Keith Villa, the longtime brewer and steward of Blue Moon, recently left Miller Coors and, with his wife Jody, started Syria Beverages, which will make a line of non-alcoholic beers that will be infused with THC and then made available at dispensaries in states where marijuana is legal. The company hopes to have products in stores by the end of the year. Yeah.
Hmm.
So there you go.
That's all interesting.
So Miller Coors up in it, which they're
eventually owned by AB now.
So.
I mean, eventually this will all be the norm, you know.
Yeah, eventually.
The way it's going.
Eventually. Yeah. I mean.
But how they infuse, like, cannabis into actual beer for a beer person will be, you know, sort of that, without having that dank, gross taste. That'll be interesting.
So this is not for me.
No, we know. And not for me either, absolutely.
But I thought it was.
There will be somebody who enjoys it. Somebody who, it'll have its audience.
So, good to cover, though. Yeah. You know, it's beer news. And it's, in my opinion, it's kind of a little bit earth-shattering as far as the craft beer community goes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once AB is doing something with it, everyone else is going to really try to do something with it, I'm sure.
Right, right. So.
Anyway, I feel like that's good on that topic. What about you?
I'm good with it.
All right.
Let's get to the beers.
Mystery beers on this. They look the same.
Dark.
They're both dark.
Yeah.
So they... Ooh, there's a bunch of stuff at the bottom of beer B for me.
Like that?
Huh. Not on A, though.
No, that is interesting. Wow, that is a lot. Like, I got some chunks in there.
Yeah, I have a lot of chunks in beer B. But coloration-wise, they look the same to me. Maybe A's a little darker.
A's got a little less head.
Yeah.
But
yeah, look, well, it's funny because the head around the edges, really fine bubbles on A and really much larger bubbles on B.
Yeah.
Okay, so they almost look the same.
Huh.
So let's sniff A. They both look like porter, stout, whatever.
Smoky, May. Like.
Yeah, I definitely get a little bit of smokiness.
Meaty, like a meat.
Slight soy sauce.
Ah, that, yeah.
Slight salinity to it, and I think that kind of just goes with that smokiness.
Yeah.
A little coffee in there on the finish.
I can see that.
It's not aggressive, though. Nothing in the aroma is aggressive.
No, nothing hits you like, ugh.
All of the smells are subtle. I'm trying to see if I can get any sort of, like, sweet anything, like a chocolate or vanilla, or I don't think I can. It's mainly, like, smelling kind of, like, smoky and salty. Which is fine.
Yeah, like a beef jerky-esque.
Reminds me
A little sweet, but, like, teriyaki.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Reminds me a little bit of Edmund Fitzgerald, the porter by Great Lakes Brewing. So, yep. All right. I'm ready to try.
I get a medicinal taste, too.
It's,
That is weird.
It tastes very...
It's smooth, but...
It tastes really, carbonated.
I get a little fruit, too.
Very carbonated.
Like,
Yeah. Oh, no. I see exactly what you're saying.
Trying to taste the flavor.
It's not quite cherry. It's kind of cherry-esque, but it's not quite cherry. I'm trying to figure out what that is.
Raspberry?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be raspberry.
I don't get as much smoky, like, yeah, now it's more like a fruity sort of.
Yeah, I could see that being raspberry. Yeah, it's some sort of, like, berry-type flavor that's on the red side.
I kind of get rye out of it. I don't know if, like...
I can see that.
Like, I don't get porter. I don't get... I mean, I guess it's a porter just the way it looks, but...
So, if it's raspberry, I don't think it's, like, actual raspberry.
Band-aid smell. Like, from the smell, like...
That's no good.
Yeah, I
if it's raspberry, I don't think it's raspberry. I think it's, like, raspberry flavoring is what it kind of comes off as. Because it's not, like, anything, like, nice and fresh.
There's a very bitter aftertaste, but it's not, like, alcohol. It's very, like... I don't know how to explain it. It's very... Nah.
It's a little medicinal, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's kind of like... I don't know. It's kind of like a medium-bodied porter with a shot of, like, a Robitussin.
That's a good, yeah. Like, high-fructose corn syrup-ish. Yeah, yeah, it's
so
not...
So it's not, like, actual fruit. It's, like, fruit flavoring.
It's not all that great.
I don't hate it. But
yeah, I mean, there's
really
nothing,
like,
there's nothing, like, oh, my God, this is horrible. This has got a smooth finish.
A little ashy.
There's not a little, not a lot of complexity to it. It's kind of like that raspberry plus a bit sugary,
you know,
smokiness, but.
I think it's like an ash type finish to it. Yeah.
Like some sort of burnt wood.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all right. All right.
I don't think it's high ABV, but if it is, it's hidden well.
We'll see what that ends up being. But B, let's try sniffing B. Okay. I want to see what you think on that smell.
Let me smell that again.
There's something that kind of just, like, socks me in the nose as, like, here's this smell.
Like, it's that caramel, like that vanilla caramel again.
I would say strong peanut butter.
Peanut butter, maybe.
That's like,
you know what? You're absolutely right. And I wonder if this is like the. I have to taste it first. If it's one of the offshoots of Sweet Baby Jesus,
or like Sweet Baby Java, where they added coffee.
Well, there's another one.
I don't smell coffee.
The Imperial Stout. That's
For Pete's sake.
Yeah, which is much better than a Sweet Baby Java.
Well, because it's got more body to it. Yeah, I can see that. So. The peanut
Definitely
butter.
Not the peanut butter.
It doesn't smell like a natural peanut butter because that's usually just is like crushed actual like raw.
Yeah,
peanuts.
And you probably don't get that.
It's kind of like a Peter Pan peanut butter.
Yeah, like the
high
fructose corn syrup / peanut. Yeah. Which isn't, you know, I'm not complaining about it. It's like smell. It's a very good smell.
Yeah, it smells awesome. But I feel like I only smell the peanut butter and then a little bit of like a sunflower seed husk type smell in the end. That's all I smell. No chocolate.
Hmm.
Hopefully it tastes different.
This is one of those. This is either Sweet Baby Java or For Pete's Sake.
Jeez.
I have a feeling this is For Pete's Sake. That's my guess.
So, like, the peanut butter protein just, like, coats your whole mouth. It's, like, super peanut buttery, and it just feels like your whole mouth is coated with
this
peanut
is,
butter.
Have you had For Pete's Sake?
I have, but it's been a while.
I think this is it.
It would seem like it because from what I remember, Sweet Baby Jesus is thinner.
Yeah.
And this has more substance.
Sweet Baby Jesus doesn't have that stringency to it. But it could just be Sweet Baby. It's definitely one of the three. I'll say that much. Either Sweet Baby Jesus, Sweet Baby Java, or For Pete's Sake.
I do like it. I love it. So I'm like a peanut butter fanatic.
Yeah.
I freaking love it.
It's really good. This is, man, I'm trying to tell which one it is.
So the thing, unfortunately, the thing that kind of sucks is that it's one note.
Yeah, but that's what Sweet Baby Jesus is, one note.
But it's one note that I really like.
Yes, and it's got a little coffee in it, don't.
So I've had a few other peanut butter porters and peanut butter stouts, and they're not as peanut buttery as like a Sweet Baby Jesus or a For Pete's Sake or anything like that. So with this beer, I really appreciate how the peanut butter's done in it. And even though in my regular life I eat like natural peanut butter, I love the flavor of like the sugary, like, Peter Pan type peanut butter, and I like that in this beer. So.
I feel like this is Sweet Baby Java. I don't think that this is the, for Pete's sake, I don't get that major alcohol astringency.
I could see that. It is pretty roasty on the finish. So maybe that, like, roastiness is coffee, but it comes off more as, like a really kind of deeply roasted malt flavor.
So you think it's Sweet Baby Jesus?
I think it's more like the For Pete's Sake.
Okay.
That because I think the mouth feels more than Sweet Baby Jesus.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I like the For Pete's Sake better than the Java. I actually like the For Pete's Sake better than all three of them, and I do really enjoy this.
This is like a dessert beer for me.
Absolutely.
When I need my peanut butter fix, but I also want a beer, I like it.
Yeah.
I like this.
I enjoy this.
There are people out there who really slam on it because they're just like peanut butter beers.
And then you smell the last one, the other one, and I'm like,
yeah, there's not much.
Yeah. And it,
yeah.
Actually quite, just not,
So there are people out there who say that like peanut butter beers are like real gimmicky. Which I understand, but...
Are there a lot of peanut butter beers to be gimmicky?
No.
Okay.
Not in my opinion. But it's kind of gotten this reputation as being a real gimmicky thing within the craft beer community.
But do you do it well? You know what I mean? And yeah. I think
that's what I'm saying.
Duclos does it very well. If you want a peanut butter beer that tastes like peanut butter, that's the one you're going for. If you want a peanut beer, that's a different story. Because it's, you know, very salty and dry and... As opposed to this, which is very, like, you know, you took a scoop of peanut butter and put it in, you know, beer and stirred it up.
Yeah, which I'm down
for. I'm not hating that either.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I should go back and try it again.
I don't need, like, it smells so bad now.
In comparison?
Mm-hmm.
I taste a lot more of that, like, raspberry, though.
Yeah. I actually think it's more vibrant, cherry, but...
Possible. I don't know.
It's a cherry, high fructose corn syrup cherry. Like, it doesn't have that very natural cherry flavor to it. It's not bad. It's, you know.
To be honest, it actually tastes between raspberry and cherry.
Okay.
Like half and half.
Raz cherry.
Well, I mean, they make hybrids of fruit all the time. That's true. So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, this is like raz cherry stout. It could be.
Again, I think someone would really enjoy that beer.
Yeah, some could like that.
It's not me, though.
It's not my thing. Yeah. I'm gonna give it a 3.
I'd probably give it a 3. It's fine. Too. Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. All right. Now, my real question is, what do I get B? Because...
And peanut butter is my jam. It's one of the three. I love them. I'm going to give it a 7.
Well, the way the peanut butter's done in this...
I got to give it a 7. Because I could, you know, I could drink this anytime... you know what I mean? It's one of those beers where it's just like, oh, sure, I'll drink that. You know, and I could get a 6-pack and, you know, drink it whenever.
I don't think I can go high like that on it. I'm between a 4 and a 5.
I'll give it a 5. It'll make it a 6, which makes it a solid, solid beer.
I will go a 5 because I feel like it's not easy to make it. Mm-hmm. Taste that, like, nice peanut butter.
And I will say that this has all... If it is the For Pete's Sake, you're looking at, like, a 10% beer.
Okay, if that's the case, then that's kind of nuts.
I think, if it is, but...
Well, we'll find out. So, the winner is Beer B, obviously, with an overall 6, which is one of the best beers on the podcast, so it will go on the front page of the website.
There we go.
And A's the loser with an overall 3, which is meh.
Yeah.
So, A, loser with 3... Kind of, beer. Oh, okay. Flying Dog Breweries, or Flying Dog Brewings, one of their brew house rarities, is their English breakfast stout.
Come on.
English style ale brewed with English breakfast tea.
Oh.
Why is it fruity then? All right, I'm going to read the text. It's 7.2.
Wow, that hides it well.
Okay, I'm going to read the text on this. From our brewmaster, Ben Clark, the English's style has become the measuring stick for what breakfast should be. Anytime I can start a day with sausage, bacon, baked beans, tomatoes, fried bread, and eggs, I'm in. The only thing missing is a beer to complement it all, and that was the dream for this concept. Rich and robust with a bit of bitterness from English breakfast tea, and another excuse to have a beer before noon.
My wife drinks English breakfast tea all the time.
You don't get it?
I don't smell it. I know what English breakfast tea smells like, and it's just, you know, this isn't it.
Yeah, it definitely comes off.
There's a little bit of bitterness from the tea, I understand, but yeah.
Even knowing what it is, it still comes off as what we described.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a stout with fruit in it. Like actual fruit, but like a flavoring.
A stout? No, I don't think so. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
whatever. All right, well, let's see what the winner was. Winner, overall of 6, tasting good. You're right. Sweet Baby Java.
There
actually.
We go.
It's espresso bean infused chocolate peanut butter porter. I don't really taste much chocolate. I get so much peanut butter, though. 6.2% alcohol by Duclaw Brewing.
So that was the Java version. Yeah. The for Pete's sake, is better than that. I will say that much.
Yeah.
I would say that's like a 7 out of 10 beer instead of that.
I don't think this is super fresh either. Oh, okay. This is from my stash, actually.
Okay.
This is about a year and a half old.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
So, which would explain why the coffee isn't more present. Because coffee definitely has a tendency to fall out over time if you just kind
of
leave it.
I actually still have a couple of these in my refrigerator.
But that peanut butter is still like blasting you in the mouth. I liked it. I like it. So do you like the Sweet Baby Java more than the Sweet Baby Jesus?
I like For Pete's Sake better than all three. I would probably say this is last.
Last?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would say For Pete's Sake, Sweet Baby Jesus, Sweet Baby Java. They're all good, but in terms of just...
But do you think aged the Sweet Baby Java is better because some coffee fell out, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, but I like coffee, so it's kind of one of those things where I think it's smoother, like because espresso is very, you know, super coffee, bitter, heavy.
It can be kind of like acrid.
Yeah, so maybe it did fall out to make it better. So if it's, you know, it being older, maybe it's made it closer
smoother,
to Sweet Baby
creamier.
Jesus. Like, I think it's closer to Sweet Baby Jesus than For Pete's Sake.
Got it.
In terms of, yeah. I would definitely recommend For Pete's Sake for anybody who's looking for, especially because it's a peanut butter beer that really hits you hard in terms of alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like peanut butter out the wazoo.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I like it. I would drink more of this.
Yeah.
And I'll finish what I have, so. All right. Well, awesome. People, if you have ideas for episodes, types of beer, whatever, go ahead and let me know. Mark is actually making a mixed drink right now.
The Retribution Cream de Menthe with the peanut chocolate peanut butter.
Go ahead. It's Sweet Baby Java and the Creme de Menthe Retribution.
The mint kind
probably
of
weird.
Still. Even the peanut butter's gone.
All right.
Yeah, weird. The mint kind of just like, forget about it.
Yeah, mint is strong. It'll trump pretty much everything. So, so if you have ideas for episodes, if you're particular beers you want us to give a shot, let me know. Send an email to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. We have all the social medias, just about. Just look for Brutal Battle. And, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you for being here, man.
No problem.
It was a good time. We had some nice stuff.
We had some good beers.
We had some interesting stuff. So
A lot of stouts, porters, so I'm always game for that. So
I will also say, for the record, I am very grateful for the work you did ahead of time.
Oh, no problem. I did my
topics.
Research.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
No problem.
So, you know, I usually don't give too much of an indicator to people on what topics we're going to talk about because a lot of times I like to have people's initial reaction to something.
Yeah,
but. This may change that because I feel like it worked really well.
The research helps, you know?
Yeah.
So you can have an actual conversation with someone. Instead of someone just reacting to it, you can just have two opinions on it. So
I'll give people homework from now on.
Yeah, do your work if you want to come here.
That's right. So. You know, if you want to drink free beer on this podcast, you got to do some homework. I'm going to need it written, double space is fine, 5 pages.
1,000 words.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, thanks a lot, Mark.
No problem.
You're a hell of a dude. Appreciate it. And until next time.
Keep it brutal.
I feel so coming to This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.